Welcome to the Case by Casey podcast, the podcast where we uncover kingdom secrets to success so you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. My name is Jethro Casey, and my mission is simple. It's to bring on men and women of God to share the secrets that God has taught them to be spiritually successful as well as successful in the world. Also, I'll be sharing what God reveals to me on my own walk with Christ. So if you're ready to grow spiritually, stick around and let's grow. Good morning, good afternoon, or good night to whenever you're listening. Back with another episode of Case by Casey, Kingdom Secrets to Success. And first, I want to start off with what we're going to be talking about this episode today and the inspiration for this episode. Like always, I have to give where I got this from. So inspiration for this episode is Journey to Becoming a Spirit. And this was taught at church. We didn't completely dive into it, but my pastor and my prophet, Prophet Malouk, my spiritual father, he was diving into what does it mean to become a spirit? Because in this walk with Christ, we aren't meant to just live in this body of flesh, but to fulfill and actualize who we are in the spirit. And if that's their first time hearing that, basically what that means, or the way I like to think of it, is the spirit is that greatest version of yourself, the person that God who created you to be, and what really leads us in our day-to-day lives, like that version of yourself who thinks I can in the face of adversity. So he talked about seven dimensions of knowledge to become a spirit. So first, you must know God and his son. Two, you must know yourself in the light of God. Three, you need to know the place of you in the equation of God. Four, you need to know the mystery and principles of the kingdom. Five, understanding man and the system of the world. Six, knowing your adversary. And seven, I'm not sure yet. He didn't dive too much into that part. So I want to start here, and this is going to be a series diving into tackling all of these. Some of these might be longer parts or multiple parts split up into different episodes. I'm really just going to go as the Spirit leads me. But yeah, just to start, I want to start where, who is God and how do we, who does the Bible say God is? So I wanted to first start in Genesis, and I think this might be two parts or three parts. We'll see however long it takes. I really want to do a deep dive into the Bible. So I want to start in Genesis 1 and verses 1 to 2. So starting off at creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it's very interesting because as I'm just reading this verse here and I'm desiring and praying for the Holy Spirit to just reveal things onto me as this podcast goes. But the first thing we see that God does is create. And it made me think, like, as you read deeper into Genesis, the creation, I don't believe, is necessarily physical, because we then end up seeing God actually creating the earth and everything, right? The fowl of the air. So I think this creation's more so, at least in the human form, as we're made in his image and his likeness, in our imaginations. So the equivalent to God creating was more so of a thought. Wow, when we create, it's also a thought. It's in our imagination. When I thought about making this podcast, it came in as a thought. But in that self, in that thought itself, it was created. And this is why I believe in this might be, I don't know necessarily if it's a hot topic, but I don't think we're able to think about something and it not be true or possible. So an example is if I'm able to think that I can be, let's say, an engineer or a doctor, that's something I think, then in some form of reality, it's possible. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to think about it. Or at least that's my thought process. Maybe that doesn't make the most sense, because then you could say, what about like a unicorn, for example, if I could think about that? Well, I think in some, it's like, how can you think about something that doesn't exist? But anyway, in the beginning, first one, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And I want to stop here because we see God the Father and we see God the Spirit. And obviously, if you're listening to this, you, well, actually, might not be obvious. You might be a Christian. You might not. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing about this. But we believe that there's God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. In this first verse, we see God the Father and the Spirit. And I was watching this video, and it dives deep into the Hebrew, and I'm not at that level yet, but God willing, I believe I will begin to study the Bible more in depth, where he teaches that in this first verse alone, it actually reveals who the Son is in this verse, but I don't have that level of information. But yeah, I want to start off. God is the creator, and us being made in his image and his likeness, so are we, and we are meant to create. And the thing is, when things are empty, it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And when we see like formless, empty, and darkness, I feel like in our heads, we might think of those things as bad. Like when you think of something, it's formless, doesn't necessarily have a form. Maybe it's empty as well, or it's not even necessarily a dark thought, but it's not necessarily a clear vision. And what you need in those moments is the Spirit of God to hover over those thoughts. And I believe that's where we can really begin to commune with God and enter into another level of knowing who God is that when we are entering into that creation, we can't just create without having the Spirit of God. So I want to dive into Moses's comfort for God's people, or actually Isaiah 40, verse 10. It says, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm." So we see here another version of God, and something we'll be diving into in later episodes are the different names of God. Because before I started going to church again and studying the Bible, I didn't understand that there was multiple names of God. And the names of God basically go to the different characteristics or faces or attributes of God. So, for example, somebody might know me as Jethro. Yet to my parents, I'll be Jay. Yet to my girlfriend, she'll call me baby or my boyfriend, right? Or to your friends, you might be bro or sis. So when you call upon that takes a different part of your personality, of your character, of who you are, but it's all the same Jethro. It's all the same you. And the same thing applies to God, or we have the same application that God has given us. And I think the power, and once we dive into the power of names, is if you don't know the name of God, or it's better to say you will know the name of God by your experience with God. So an example of is for me, there's one name of God that very popular for a song, Jireh. And Jireh means, we'll get back to the episode in just a moment, but quick question. Are you waiting to see the manifestation of God in your life? You're reading all of the amazing stories of the Bible and asking yourself, why am I not experiencing this? Well, there is a way, and this podcast is one that is set to bring you kingdom secrets to success that I'm learning from men and women of God, as well as what God is teaching me daily. Stay up to date with all new episodes and weekly spiritual nuggets that I'll be sharing by joining the Case by Casey newsletter. The link is in the description and show notes below. Now, let's get back into the episode. It's provider, and that was given, I believe, to the Israelites when they were coming from Exodus. He was Jehovah Jireh. And you can only know Jehovah Jireh if you're in a place of lack and God begins to provide for you. Otherwise, you might know him by name, because I can know Jethro or know of Jethro, but to have an actual encounter with him, that's when you're in a season of lack, and that's when you encounter Jehovah Jireh. There's many different names that we'll dive into, but we see here in Isaiah 40, verse 10, you see the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. Then verses 40, 27 to 31 say, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And we see here from verses 27 to 31 that first, and maybe this isn't exactly true, but to my understanding of where I'm at, it's asking, like, why are you complaining, Jacob? Why are you complaining, children of Israel? Why are you complaining, Christians? Is God's ways hidden from us? Is what we're doing causing us to disregard our God? Do we not know? Have we not heard? And I think it's powerful because when the Bible is asking, it's like, do you not know? Have you not heard? Because I think many times, and myself included, we go to church, or even if we're not going to church, we read the Bible. And if we're not reading the Bible, whatever the case may be, we hear things, or we experience things, or we see things, or we say that we know things, but we actually don't really understand them. So I believe this is what the Bible is saying. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. It's like, why, if you serve the God who's the everlasting God, who is Alpha and Omega, who's the creator, the uncreated creator, and he's telling us we will not grow tired or weary, that he will give you strength when you feel weary, that he will increase your power if you're weak, or another Bible verse says, in your weakness, you are strong. That those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And I think it's very interesting, and I'm curious about what the Hebrew is. I don't have it on me, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Because it's not like I'm hoping. When you hope in something, it's like you believe that that thing will come to pass. So like if I were to hope in my friends, it's because I have a certain, and I think even a certain experience or encounter of consistency with that person. So it's like if you know your God, you are able to hope in him because he's shown up for you over and over and over again. Going to Exodus 34, this is when Moses was given the commandments after smashing them. And it starts from verse 5 saying, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents of the third and fourth generation. I want to stop there because we see in this verses 6 to 7, we see that the Lord is compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. But we also see that God is a just God. And I think this is something that's very difficult. At least it was for me towards the beginning when I started reading the Bible. It's like, and I'm still getting it. And I think that's the thing with God. You're never going to get it. You're always getting him. You're always understanding him. But I remember seeing Exodus and I was like, whoa, this is not the God who I remember learning about and seeing, like, how, I wouldn't say ruthless, but that's how it felt in the moment. I think understanding, like, why is God doing these things? What's the reason? And it says here, he'll forgive wickedness, rebellious, and sin, but he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished because he is a just God. And it goes on to say he punishes the children and their children for the sin, not of themselves, but of their parents to the third and fourth generation. And this is where I think, where if we need to like raise our spiritual level, because let's say you're struggling and battling and being, and you feel like life isn't going the way it's supposed to be. It might not even be because of you, but because of what your parents did to the third and fourth generation. And I think also with that, it's knowing that your actions now will not only affect your children, but your children's 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 children. And when you think of that, it's like the weight of what your actions doing and how we are being judged by what we're doing. Obviously, there's grace. So thank you, Jesus. So I want to continue. Genesis or Exodus 34, verse 8. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. "Lord," he said, "if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us your inheritance." Then the Lord said, "I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in the world." And I want to stop there because I think something that I didn't understand and I want to share with you all is I thought that we made a covenant with God, but now I'm understanding as Exodus 34 verse 10 says, "Then the Lord said, I'm making a covenant with you." God, we never first come to God. God first comes to us. We never make a covenant. There's nothing we can do to God. He first does it to us. Just like how the Bible says he gave his begotten son because he so loved the world. And even though obviously with Jesus, he was sacrificed before, as the Bible says, before the foundations of the world, he was slain. So God's already given to us so we can first give to him. And I think it's so much more powerful when you understand that God is always coming to you, not as a person with the Holy Spirit, but somebody who's sinned, who's made mistakes, who's done things he said, "God, I would never do it again," and still do it. And I think there's so much power and that's where you understand the grace and love of God, is that he's still willing to make covenant with people who, as the Bible said, were stiff-necked. And I want to go to Nahum verse 1 to 2, potentially all the way to 8. And this is talking about the Lord's anger against Nineveh. "The Lord is jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and in the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet." So I want to stop there because it says, and I'm still trying to understand this as I'm speaking to you all, it says his way is in the whirlwind and the storm. So I take the Bible very, I guess there's two aspects of it. There's like literally and there's spiritually, and sometimes it's both. And when the Bible says something like his way is in the whirlwind and the storm, I'm wondering what those two words mean. By the way, I've been using the NIV version, but the whirlwind, I'm assuming, is like literally like tornadoes and things like that and different storms. And when you begin to think about the Bible says, I believe God fills all things. I'm not sure what specific book. And it's like, I think at times we limit ourselves to thinking God speaks in one way. But I'm reminded of, I believe it's Prophet Elijah, where God wasn't in the earthquake or the fire or whatever else happened to Elijah, but he was in this small, still voice. So before that, if he was expecting God to be in the earthquake or the fire, that means he might have spoken to him that way before. So I think that's one thing as well to understand, that when God speaks, he may not speak always in the same, I guess, avenue. And that's where interpretation comes in, because God, as it says in Job 33, God will speak once, yea twice, but man perceive it not. So then he gives us dreams. But then we also see God speaking to Moses in a fire. But then we also see God speaking in a small, still voice. So I think it's understanding that God, as the Bible says, I'm forgetting where, his ways are not our ways, that his thoughts aren't our thoughts. So I think it's very interesting. Continuing from verse 4, he rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossom of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. And this is interesting because the Bible is making a distinction between the earth, the world, and us who live in it, or all who live in it. So it's very interesting here because the earth trembles. Like, is that like a characteristic of trembling? Like, I feel like that's a characteristic of something that's alive, unless it means like an earthquake or something like that. But anyway, the mountains quake before him and the hills melt away. Or verse 6, who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into the realm of darkness. And then I just want to dive and finish the episode with, and we'll dive into this more, but who God isn't. So in James 1:13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. I think it's simple knowing that when temptation does come, that it's not of God, that God will never tempt you. But I think also in knowing that is that God will allow you to be tempted. He even allowed Jesus to be tempted by the devil. So God will not tempt you, but he will allow temptation, because after temptation, if you can defeat the temptation or flee temptation, then there is elevation. Let's see here. And then 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. And I think this goes, and still something I'm figuring out on my Christian walk with God is, there's so much differences in the church and what people believe. And it's like, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So I think understanding that when you are confused in your life, understanding, are you in God at that moment? Are you in the place aligned with your spirit? And is your spirit, or is your soul aligned with your spirit? And is your spirit aligned with the Holy Spirit? So I want to say thank you guys for listening. Just feel free to like, share with a friend. Click down below for the newsletter if you haven't already. And I'll be sharing some kingdom secrets as revelation drops in my spirit. I just want to end in a prayer. Father God, I thank you for those who are listening, for those who are also watching. Father God, I know that you have our going in and our going out, that there's nobody like you, that Father God, you decided to save us when we were yet still sinners. Father God, give us and help us to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And to first, Lord, help us to know who you are, Lord Jesus, who this God is that we serve. Father God, we worship you for being the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above every other name. Father God, we ask for forgiveness for the sins that we know of, that we don't know of. Lord, that your wrath will not be upon us, Lord Jesus, that you will be slow to anger with us, Father God, and that we will know a new face of you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I want to bless your people and thank your people for listening, for tuning in, and we'll be back with another episode, another part of the series. Not sure if it's going to be part two, but we'll see, and God bless you guys. 3, 2, 1, yeah! Thanks for listening to this episode of Case by Case. If you enjoyed this conversation, make sure to drop a like, follow, or rate on whatever platform you're listening on. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. So if you want to help others prepare for the path to success, don't forget to share this episode on social media so we can reach success together.